In the year 1831, biologist Charles Darwin began a fateful journey on the HMS Beagle. On that journey, Darwin formulated the controversial theory of evolution, which has impacted society down to this day.
Our goal is to punch holes in that theory, so we'd like to welcome you to
Sink the Beagle.
Fire one, Captain!
Way to go, Stan. Nice shooting.
Why, thank you, John. Once again, we hope to be on target, and maybe by the end of the program, people will agree. I am Stan Hudson.
And I'm John Kurlinski, welcoming you to another episode of
Sink the Beagle,
where we take a lighthearted and a serious look at both at the same time. We can do these things.
Hard.
We're professionals. Don't try us at home. At the issues of evolution and creation. And
where we
related.
Came from, where we came from and where we might be going, and hopefully they're related, and hopefully we're making some sense today.
And well, we make some progress in these areas.
Well, we need to sometimes acquire things to
and
do
evolve
that.
A little bit, huh?
Evolve, oh my goodness. John, you are quite a character. Where did you get that character stuff from?
I got my istics from my mom to give me those characteristics, and my dad.
Oh, which, the good ones?
Depends who you want to ask, you know. My mother is still living, blessed be she. And
so the good things you got from her and the
yes.
not so from dad. Well, actually, we're talking today about acquired characteristics and how we got our unique qualities.
Well, we want to talk about that idea, how mm-hmm. people have gotten them, and evolution story is that they evolved over time and circumstances,
yes.
the pressures of environment
chance.
And chance and things. This all work on you, and they
natural
just,
selection
and you
maybe
get them,
a little bit,
and you really don't have any choice in it. You get them because either A, you need them, you want them, you love them, or for somehow you're forced to have them or something.
The dice rolled and you got them.
But they also thought that animals. The environment was very influential mm-hmm. in that change quite often,
mm-hmm.
or it somehow had a factor in the acquiring the characteristics that would modify species. And there's a certain example of that. Darwin thought so because he thought that the drought situations in the Galapagos with the rainy times caused the species of finches to evolve or change slightly.
To adapt to their situation, yes.
And so they're acquiring new characteristics. And
mm-hmm.
there was a common thought that lots of animals over time could acquire new characteristics given forced to in some cases by environmental change alone.
Well, it was the French scientist Jean-Baptiste Lamarck that an
predecessor to Charles.
Yes, who kind of came up with the idea of you acquire or your children acquire characteristics based on what their parents did, shall we say, in their life. For instance, a giraffe might stretch and stretch and stretch to reach higher leaves on the trees. And by stretching, somehow or other, it would produce children with longer necks.
That makes all kinds of sense.
That's how they acquired that longer neck characteristic, by the use of the parents.
Well, they also would even think that to that effect, that a child whose dad was more had more bigger muscles
yes.
and was more endowed
yes.
physical.
Yes.
Physical, you know, he could swing Pump. That hammer, that he would give birth to sons who were
back.
Sons, who, strong sons who would be able to swing the hammer even in a more mighty
yes.
way.
Yes.
Trouble is, doesn't work.
Doesn't work. And children, and Darwin thought, in fact, Darwin actually put some credit, in Lamarck, even though Lamarck was kind of up and down through the 19th century. But, you know, even to this day, we still use the terminology adaptation, that species adapt. And whenever you say they adapt, you're sensing then that they somehow acquire something or get something.
Yes.
So they can adapt to their environment. And how do you acquire things? That's really what we're talking about today.
Yes.
How do you acquire characteristics?
One of the things they thought they could do as an experiment to help prove or disprove acquired characteristics
yes.
was they would take little mice.
Little mice.
And they would start cutting off the mice's
here,
tails.
Micey.
And they start
blind,
chopping off the tails.
Blind mice.
Assuming the offspring of the tailless mouse would eventually produce a tailless mouse.
Well, if you
know,
just don't use it over a few, I think they did something like 20 generations
of tail chopping.
Oh man, poor mice.
Guillotine on the back end.
Yeah. Well, at least it's that end.
Was it the French? These experiments? Could be.
Could be. And so the idea is if it has no use, it can't use something. After a while, it will learn to not need to.
Adapt it. They're trying to prove the adaptation aspect of the theory.
Exactly. And what happened is, did they lose any? Did it even get shorter a little?
No. The mice's tail came back the same way
every
it always
day,
was.
The babies.
Every
hey,
baby.
Hey, Mom
had.
And Dad, how come I don't look like you? And whoop, now you do.
Ouch, ouch. And then, and so forth for 20 generations. That was sad. That would not happen today because of PETA, you know.
Oh, that's true. They also thought, for instance, that if mothers, were out in the sun a lot and got tanned, that their children would thus get darker skin.
And therefore you have more species.
And you would have darker races and so forth. And they found out that's not so. All of these experiments seem to not really pan out, even though Darwin had to allow some way in which you would acquire some characteristics.
Because the point he made is that these are slight changes,
mm-hmm.
and you have to have enough
slight changes
over time to get new species, and that's where a descent with the modifications, the slight modifiers that were driven primarily in his mind probably by environment and food supplies, etc.
Well, one of the byproducts of this thinking is the whole subject we talked about in old days on Sink the Beagle about vestigial organs.
Yes, those.
Remember those things?
I lost one of my vestigials.
Oh, you did?
Yes,
how so?
I lost my appendix. It got real infected in it when I was 20 years old, and it was after a St. Paddy's Day stint, and I ended up having to go to the hospital. I was really sick. I didn't know what it was, and they pushed in that area. I go, took out my appendix, which was considered an organ that really
don't
need that one. Take it out. You'll live just as fine without it. And to be honest, I'm living probably just as fine without it.
So did Brad get born without your son Brad? Was
no,
he born
has
with
an appendix.
Okay,
he has an appendix too.
Well,
yeah.
Well, that didn't happen. Okay. But anyway.
Do you have your tonsil stand?
Actually, I do. Yes. Can't you tell my beautiful voice? No. The subject of vestigial organs has been more or less debunked as we've studied those so-called vestigial organs. They seem to almost all have easily understandable and recognizable uses even today,
including
appendixes.
And they find out that they're even useful to have one.
Mm-hmm.
They do aid in some areas and helps your liver and your digestive tract and other things.
The whole subject of vestigial organs can better be summarized by things that scientists don't understand yet.
Yes. you mean they have limits to science's understanding?
A fairly good
say
list.
Say it ain't so, Stan. Say it ain't so.
Darwin said this when he's talking about characteristics responsible for evolution and so forth. This says, this implies that many parts are not modified by use and disuse during the life of the individual. I differ widely from his cousin, Francis Galton, as every year I come to attribute more and more to such agency. Or in other words, he was saying the more he studies the subject of characteristics that are necessary for evolution, he thought, more and more that they had to be acquired some way or other, you know, and that's how do you acquire characteristics? That's really the subject. How do you do that?
And of course, he didn't understand genetics at the time, so we have to cut him a little bit of slack. But even genetics doesn't really solve our problem completely.
Mm-hmm.
It explains the change that goes on, but it doesn't explain, you know, what causes all the mutations to occur. We have some ideas about some things, but in the
broken DNA.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and really, they're neo-Darwinists now. They've dropped natural selection as a significant enough force, although everybody more or less says, yeah, you're going to weed out some things, so that'll affect the population through natural selection. Survival of the fittest has some place in things, but it can't change
into
new forms.
It's not the major
forms.
Driver.
It actually removes weak. It really kind of strengthens the species. It doesn't really change the species. So what they've now decided is mutation is the way it's going to go. That's how something is going to acquire a new thing through mutation. And yet now they're finding that there are limitations to mutations. Mutations will only go so far. For instance, you can't grow a 900-pound tomato or a 50-foot-tall chihuahua or something.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord.
Biologically, there are limitations in all living things that they cannot acquire too much change from what their basic pattern is.
It'll destroy it. It won't happen, folks.
It ain't going to happen. So you know, mutations are accidental and obviously without any kind of purpose. And if that's the case, if they're accidental, then 99.99% will probably not help you, probably harm you.
So we have a torpedo text, which
we do.
Oh, yes. What do you have, Stan?
Well, we've acquired one. Okay.
We acquired a torpedo text, which helps us acquire.
Well, here.
But this is a change that we believe is realistic, helpful, and you can acquire, especially if you're a believer. And there are things that will definitely not only benefit your species, your existence, it'll benefit you socially, it'll benefit you mentally, physically, if you acquire these moral acquirements.
Okay, well, let's take a look. How about
Second Peter,
chapter one, and let's take a look at verse 5. It says, "But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love." Oh, it looks like you can add things. You can acquire things.
You can acquire new things as a believer, which will make you a much nicer species to be around.
You would evolve into something better.
Yeah, something better and something more pleasant to be around. When you got to that brotherly love stage, you'd be the talk of the town. Except for those who don't like being loved.
It's not easy to acquire characteristics. I mean, I'd love to acquire a narrower waistline. So it's nice to see that it is possible.
Was it P91? Or whatever it is.
I better look into it.
Okay.
But anyway, it looks like then, John, that the things that matter most that are changeable, and let's face it, a leopard can't change its spots nor other things, Ethiopian skin and that kind of thing. We don't have power to change our physical self very much. But the spiritual, which is a far more significant part of who we really are, certainly mm-hmm. in God's eyes, we can acquire characteristics. Now, how do you acquire these characteristics?
Well, those start coming.
It's not mutation, is it?
No. Okay. Well, it's radical transformation, Stan. It's more than mutation.
Recreation.
It's death and recreation. You die to yourself. You give yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Oh, praise
and
the Lord.
He sends his spirit. And you, as you cooperate with the spirit and the environment of the Holy Spirit, you begin to drop off the negative lists that the scriptures often list of, you know, envy and strife and greed mm-hmm. and jealousy and hatred and anger and stuff. And you begin to acquire new characteristics of love and patience and forgiveness. And you start becoming a more virtuous person, a more godly person, a more patient person.
It occurred to me. So we're evolving. We're adapting to our future new world.
We're adapting.
We're starting to breathe the atmosphere that we're going to be breathing.
And the neat thing is, God wants
around.
You to evolve before you get there. He wants your character to evolve, and he'll take care of the easy evolvement, which is the one that you can't make, and that's mm-hmm. the transformation of your waistline to something more slimming and fitting.
Oh, thank you very much. And with better material, glorious bodies that don't age. I like that.
So that's
wrinkles
the kind
are
of,
issue at this point.
Yes, adaptation and acquiring new things go hand in hand with a truly biblical worldview. It's just, what are you going to acquire and where are you going to go with it? And if Darwin would have adapted a few things, he could have maybe had peace of mind instead of pain. He could have had all kinds of things had he adapted to the biblical message of salvation.
He was suffering from anxiety his whole life, and that's sad because the Bible says that in Christ, I think there's something about being new. Isn't there a new creation kind of thing?
You're all new. You're new in Christ. That's the kind of spiritual adaptation and change we would like to wish on all of our listeners.
Amen.
So tune in to another
Sink the Beagle.
So join us here each week, my friends. You're sure to get a smile from seven stranded castaways here on Gilligan's Island.